We got bills just like everybody else. We had 3 kids to take care of, a family to provide for. Yeah, we had a little money put back. But I thought, how in the world are we going to make it? They didn't even know if I was going to get the gain of my hands back. My wife, she provided everything and aspect that I needed. And I'm telling you, I got down low. When a man that all he's ever done is used his hands to work, and then he wakes up one morning and he can't use his hands no more. I'm telling you, you start leaning and trusting in the Lord. Me and her had some real good down heart-to-heart conversation. Mama, if we've got to sell her house, then we'll sell her house. If we've got to sell the farm, then we'll sell the farm. The most important thing is that we're together. I got a phone call 2 or 3 weeks after I'd been laying there, and we're trying to get our finances in order and trying to get things together. A man that was supposed to have come and logged my farm a year before. I had told him to call and log my farm a year before that he had come. He called me. And he said, I want you to know, opportunities opened up. I can fit you in. He said, oh, by the way, timber's up. I thought I'd let you know. I just sat there, tears rolling down my face. Listen to me, God's got a plan. He knew that a year before that I didn't need it, but He sent it to me right when I needed it. I'm thankful this morning to have an opportunity to stand before you. And I want to try our very best to bring out what God has showed me through this experience. I want you to understand something this morning. We sung that song that God has His eye on the sparrow and He watches after you. Listen, if He keeps His eye on the sparrow, you better believe He knows everything about you. And He wants to help you. And He wants you to listen to His heed and His call. But listen to me this morning. You've got to trust in Him. That He knows what He's doing and that He's directing your path in life. I'm not talking about give Him something and then turn around and walk away from Him trying to take it back. But I mean when you wholeheartedly trust in Him and give it to Him. Because He's big enough to take care of it. If He's allowed you, listen to me, God didn't push me off an old barn. I believe Brother Don Curtis could agree with me with that. Me and him both fell out of building. Listen to me, God didn't push me out of no barn. I had somebody ask me, they said, not long after I fell, they said, are you sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing? And I thought about it a minute, and I said, yeah, I am. I'm doing just exactly what I need to be doing. Well, I don't understand why God allowed you to fall out of a barn. Listen to me. The reason that I fell out of a barn is because I was up there running a chainsaw and I had not been up there. I can't put it no plainer to you. But I tell you what God did when I fell. He sustained my neck from breaking. I was able to get up and not be paralyzed for the rest of my life. I've got good use of my legs. He allowed me more time with my family. If I'd walked away and never gained the use of my hands again, it'd been for the glory of God. I tell you what God did. He opened my perspective is what He done. He showed me some things. Then it's time to slow down a little bit and smell the roses, if you will. It's time to slow down. Make more time for me. And what I mean by that is God. Make more time for Him. You've got to make time for the Lord in your life. If you're going to walk with Him, He's got to be close to you. When challenges and tribulations come to you in your life, my friend, don't run from God, but run to Him. I'm not sitting up here bragging, saying that we had an easy road, because we didn't. I had to work. There was pain that come along with getting the use of my hands back. Pain. But I'm telling you, God helped me. My wife, she'd sit beside me and she'd say, "Don't become discouraged. Baby steps. Baby steps." And boy, that's what it was. Baby steps. Listen to me. God opened my eyes to a whole new perspective. God's got to be number one in your life. Number one. All else around you, all else may fail, but Jesus Christ needs to be number one in your life. And then He said, beyond that, He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And this morning, that's what I want to look at, the Lord being our help. I want to go to Luke in the 10th chapter. I'll try not to be too lengthy. Very, very familiar scripture this morning. You ask me what I tell my children, the golden rule. Miss Copas, being a school teacher, probably remembers what the golden rule was. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. The golden rule. I still tried to instill that into my children. Do unto others as you'd have done unto you. I want my boys to grow up to be good boys. I want them boys to grow up to be godly men. And I want them to love the Lord's cause. But most importantly, I want them to love people, God's people, people that's never been saved. Wherever they are in the world, listen, that's what God has called us to do, is to love people. This is a heart work. It always has been and it always will be. Listen to me. I believe it's over there in 1 John. And I won't quote it, but just to paraphrase it, he says, how do you know that you passed from death unto life? He said, because you love the brethren. How do you know? Because you've got a love in your heart. I've heard too many people stand up when they've been saved, say, boy, when I come off of that altar and I looked over and so-and-so was praying, all I know to do was start praying for them. Honey, that's because you've got a love in your heart, my friend, that you want to see them get what you've got. The golden rule. Let me just read to you that. Matthew 7. We'll go back to Luke 10 in just a minute. Y'all bear with me. He said, therefore, in Matthew 7 and 12, he said, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have do unto you. And let's just go ahead and get to our text in Luke 10. Remember what the Lord said there on the Sermon on the Mount. He says over here in Luke, in the 10th chapter, in the 25th verse, the Good Samaritan is where we'll take our reading this morning. He said, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thine mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And I want to stop there for just a moment, and we'll get on down to our text just here in a moment. But this lawyer, knowing the law of God, if you will, being a scribe and knowing what the Word of God says, he answered correctly. And I want you to understand, I don't have time, nor do I feel like to previously go back in this chapter, but for time's sake, you're apt to do that. But no doubt up to this, Jesus had been tried on many occasions about who he was and what he came to do. And no doubt I want you to understand that the first and greatest commandment, this lawyer answered correctly. He said, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength or mind. He said, everything that makes you up, he said, love the Lord thy God. And I told you first and foremost today that we as God's people, that's what we need to do, is love the Lord thy God. Put him first and foremost in your life. He said, but what must I do to inherit eternal life? My friend, this morning I want you to understand there's nothing that you can do on your own to inherit eternal life. My friend, to love God in the aspect that he's number one in your life, there has to be something that takes place with you. There has to be something that happens to you. And I'm talking about there needs to be a time and a place. I believe that, and I believe that's what the Scripture teaches. My friend, a time and a place where God has saved your soul. My friend, where you know that something has happened to you. Listen to me. When you get to that place and God grants you the faith to believe in him, he'll make you number one. He will become number one in your life. You remember what that was like when you come up off of wherever it was that you was praying. And just, I'm telling you, it was like a bubble and it's just come up all over me. I've heard people say, well, I seen a light or I seen this, maybe the lights in the church was brighter. I've heard people say people looked awful pretty or whatever it was that happened to you. What happened to me was as it was peace. And boy, in that moment, I felt like I could float away. It felt so good. I felt so light. The burden that I'd been packing, it was gone. And it felt good. And from that day forward, I've not always done a good job of it. I told you, boy, I get ahead of myself a little sometimes. I get worried and consumed with trying to make a living or getting caught up in everything else that's going on. And sometimes the Lord, he takes the back seat. But he needs to be number one in our life. Number one. And then he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus looked over at him and he said, thou hast answered correctly. My question I want to ask to you this morning, who's your neighbor? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I love self pretty good. And if we're all honest with each other, we love self, don't we? So if we're to love our neighbor as ourself, boy, we ought to love them a whole lot. He tried to justify himself in this. He saith unto Jesus, he said, who is my neighbor? Now, I know this morning we're all very familiar with this scripture, but I felt the need that just what the Lord impressed upon us. He said, Jesus answered and said, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that away, and when he had saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast and brought him to an inn to take care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that shewed mercy unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I want you to understand this morning as we begin to look at this parable of the Good Samaritan, and I guess probably all of us this morning are very familiar with this, but I want you to understand that this lawyer, he had a bit of deceit in him as far as asking to Jesus this question, "Who is thy neighbor?" He looked back and examined himself, and he thought, "Boy, I'm really going to get him hung up here." And I love the way the Lord Jesus always would be asked a question, and he would answer a question with a question to get people to thinking, my friend. And this morning, I want us to understand and think about what's taking place. Here, as we begin to read about this certain man, as he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, it said that he fell among thieves. I want you to understand that this road would have been about 18 miles or so long between Jerusalem and Jericho. It was somewhat of a pig path in certain parts of it. It wasn't very wide. It wasn't what you would consider the road out here in front of us. Those things was becoming more and more established, but I want you to understand that that there was parts of it that was still pretty small. And as they began to travel, it said that he fell among thieves. And my friend, I want you to understand this day and time that we're living in, there's people that are suffering. There's people that are going through things. I believe it's James over there, and I may be mistaken in that, but he said pure and unadulterated religion, my friend, is to love and to take care of those that are widowed and orphans. Pure and unadulterated religion. To take care of those that need help. Who is our neighbor this morning? Is our neighbor merely the one that's living with us? Listen to me. When you look at it in the Hebrew sense, as far as neighbor, it meant someone that was a fellow brother, someone that was a companion with you maybe, someone that was a friend. In the Greek context, it means a neighbor. But Jesus teaches them, who is a neighbor? Is it merely somebody that you have an acquaintance with? Or is it just anybody that stands in need of help? I told y'all here earlier that... Y'all listen to me for a minute, young people. Pay attention. We live in a day and time that people say, why does bad things happen to good people? God is no respecter of persons. Just because I fell off a barn doesn't mean that I wouldn't try my best to live okay life. I ain't going to say that I'm perfect because I'm not. I got a long way to go. But I faith. We had our farm logged I told you about. You know what happened? People started sending a little money along. Me and her'd be sitting there. We'd open that card up. There was money in there. And on the bottom of that little card, they'd have wrote in there some words, "We want you to know we love you. And we're praying for you." And me and her look at each other and say, "Boy, we don't deserve this. Why is people being so good to us? We don't deserve this." But I tell you what happened after that. Me and her sat down one day and I said, "Mama, God's been awful good to me. And I'm going to try my best. If the Lord will help me, I'm going to give back. The Lord's been good to us. And if He'll help me, I'm going to give back the best way that I can." I'm so thankful to be part of a church that's such a giving church. This church is so giving. But sometimes it ain't just about giving with your pocket. Sometimes it's giving from the heart. Give you time to somebody. Call them every now and then. Listen to me, I'm just as busy as anybody else, and maybe I do a sorry job of it, but I try my best to call and check on people the best that I can. say, well, preacher, that's your job. Yeah, it is. But listen to me, it's all of our job. Call and check on people from time to time. Let them know that we love them. Let them know that we're thinking about them. He said, this man fell among thieves. He said, this priest and Levite, boy, I don't feel the need to go into it, but I had all this other stuff wrote down. But I'll tell you this, this priest and this Levite, they went down. Now, whether or not this priest's service there at the temple was complete, I don't know, but more than likely, he was probably going home. They couldn't touch an unclean thing, the Scripture teaches us. They couldn't touch a dead corpse. But I want you to know that God had instructed them to love their neighbor as themselves. And he passed by on the other side. Here comes this Levite, knowing and understanding the workings of the temple, knowing and understanding the workings of the priesthood. And yet he passed by on the other side. But here come this Samaritan. And listen to me, the Jewish people despised Samaritans. They hated them. They thought they was dogs. And this Samaritan said he had compassion on them. He was moved with compassion. My friend, as I look back at a year ago now, I sit back, and you can ask Jessica, there'd be times that I'd be discouraged, and I'd think, what kind of world are we living in? It's awful. People burning cities down, people destroying, robbing people's homes, it's an awful mess. But you know what I told her? I said, honey, there's still good people in the world. There's still good people in the world. There's people that want to help. There's people that want to do. There's people that show compassion. And my friend, that's what we're still doing today, is showing compassion. You ask me who showed the greatest compassion that there ever was? Jesus Christ. He's our greatest example. And my friend, to me, he's a great picture of this Samaritan. He traveled along. He reached down and he took this man and he put him on his own beast and he took him to an inn. He paid him 2 pence. Which the way I understand it would probably be the equivalent of a couple of days' wage. He took that 2 pence and he gave it to the innkeeper. Not only did he do that, but he dressed him with oil and wine. Tried to bind up his wounds. He didn't just pass by. He wasn't in such a hurry. He just decided, well, I'll just pass on by. Somebody else can take care of this. But he tried his very best. I want you to know this. If God allows you to help somebody, he'll equip you with what you need to help. He will prepare your heart, and he will prepare you. And I want to tell you this. The old saying, it's better to give than it is to receive. Boy, I tell you what. To me, that's truth in that. It's better to give than it is to receive. Because do you know who my greatest paymaster is? It's the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about, you know, when he blesses me the most. Listen to me, don't pat me on the back and say what this is about. There's those moments in time when you're sitting there at the grocery store, and maybe this has happened to you, but there's a little woman there. She ain't got enough money. And I ain't saying don't pull out just a bit. Whatever, give what's on your heart to her. And honey, there's nobody else that knows it between you and her. And then God pays you. Listen to me, it ain't about going out here saying, look at me. Boy, it's a big thing on social media now. People can't even get on there and help somebody without taking a video of it saying, look at me, I'm helping this person. Listen to me, God ain't in that. those people that helped us when we was out probably will never. I ain't never going to say who they are. It ain't, that's between them and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe whenever I went back to work and now they see me with my hands and that I'm able to go and provide and all those things for my family, I believe God has surely rewarded them for that. When you go to help somebody, God will equip you with what you need to help. Just as this man took a couple days' wage, it don't require a whole lot sometimes. It just requires our time. He gave him what he had. He threw him upon his beast and took him to the inn. He paid him 2 pence. Now here's what's wonderful about him. He said, if that ain't enough, he said, when I come back through, I'll pay you what you owe me. This last year has been a wake-up call for me. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes God has to get a hold of us and shake us up a little bit. I'm thankful He does me. And He's woke me up. And I hope I don't go to sleep again because I need my legs. I say that. The Lord can do with me as He wants. But what I'm saying is this. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Don't be asking who's your neighbor. That ain't what it's about. If you're asking who your neighbor is, your heart's probably not where it needs to be to begin with. Be willing to have compassion. Be willing to help your brothers and sisters. Listen to me. We ain't a church that tears down. We're a church that builds up. We build our brothers and sisters up. We esteem them higher than ourselves. And you all, I love you all. I love this church. Brother Jackson, if you'd be getting us a song. I love this church. But I want to be a help to somebody. Brother and sister, Daryl and Betty Sue Metter sang a song called, If I Can Help Somebody As I Travel Along. That's why I want to be a help to somebody. If I'm not helping somebody, then what do you say? I believe in my heart I was put here to help somebody. What about you? We may do, listen to me, I'm talking about myself. I may do a sorry job of it, but I want to help somebody. Let's help somebody. Let's help our neighbor. Let's love them like we do ourselves. Let's love each other. I don't know if I've got tomorrow, neither do you. But boy, I want to love on you while I've got the opportunity. I want to love you because I'm not promised tomorrow, and neither are you. Brother, go ahead.